Thank you. It's really a privilege to introduce Judge Claudia Markham, who is here. She's going to be speaking tomorrow in Berkeley on a lot of different human rights issues that she's involved with. But one of the human rights issues that she's involved with is that she recently returned from the so-called Durban 2. Actually, it was a Durban Review conference. Some of you remember that there was a big conference in South Africa in 2001 that was in Durban, South Africa, wherein the whole issue of reparations, racism, a lot of other things happened. It was just prior to 9/11. And some would suspect that some of the things that happened or didn't happen in Durban too led to eventually what happened with 9/11 because of the proximity. But at any rate, Judge Claudia Markham is here. She's a retired judge from the city of Detroit that has its own problems, as we've heard, with Malice Green, Vincent Chin, other situations like that. She has very graciously consented to just hold forth for a little bit to talk about how she reported on the Oscar Grant case in Geneva, Switzerland, just a few weeks ago. And she's a very busy person. I know she's on her way right now from the Bay Area to go to Vietnam, where she's going to be sitting on a panel with a number of other international judges and jurists who are going to be looking at Agent Orange poisoning and dioxin poisoning that's ongoing right now for many people in Vietnam into two and three generations later, and many children having these problems. So it's my honor and privilege to welcome Dr. Claudia Markham. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to you for a moment. And I just want to, when he's calling me doctor, judge, doctor, I had a radio jazz show after I retired from the bench, and I was known as the Reverend Dr. Judge on Hastings Street Jazz. So putting that aside, I was on the bench, two different benches, for 26 years. And believe me, in the 15 years I sat on the circuit court bench, I saw a lot of what you are being confronted with now. The Malice Green case, that many of you know about, Vincent Chin, who was a young Chinese man that was mistakenly thought of as Japanese and was beat to death by a group of hoodlums out of a bar because they thought he was taking jobs away with the cars and the automobile. But I've been fortunate enough to be working with the International Association of Democratic Lawyers, who are an organization of lawyers, judges, law professors from the Pacific Rim, from Asia, from Europe, and also from the United States. But more intimately and more closely working with Miguel-John Civil Liberties Institute that's here in Berkeley, California. One of the things I've been doing over the past few years is going to the UN hearings on all of the treaties that the United States is signatory to. And the last treaty was the Convention to Eliminate Racial Discrimination and all forms of it. This was not the Durban 2 that was held last month in Geneva. It was the Durban Preparatory Committee, which was going through all of the forms of action or plans of action that many countries had decided that they were going to do in trying to eliminate racial discrimination, xenophobia, and whether it was through new legislation and through training of judges, officers, and everything. Judges are pretty biased and racist themselves, you'll find on the bench. That's if you didn't know. But anyway, this time, May 15th and 6th, no, excuse me, April 20th through the 24th, I was in Geneva, and there were hundreds of non-governmental organizations there. But there were 156 nations represented there from all over the world. And of course, as you know, Israel, the United States, Canada, Australia, did not come to the, they boycotted the conference. The non-governmental organizations were allowed 3 minutes to make a presentation to the members of the committee, telling what progress had been made in their countries, if any, and also how the country was defective in not doing what they should be doing in eliminating racial discrimination. I had the chance to talk about the fact that in the Durban 1 plan of action, they wanted to have reparations for the descendants, African descendants. And many of you may know that, I think it was back in the late 70s, my congressman John Conyers had introduced a bill for reparations that was lost in committee and never brought before the congressional hearing group. On the question of Oscar Grant, one of the things that was in my presentation was that we have to find a way to eliminate the police brutality, the racial profiling, what has been happening, not just since 9/11, but from eons ago. The police have no training and they violate the human rights of so many of our African American and other. Now there's Islamophobia, that they're doing it with the Asian looking people, people who are Muslims and all. So one thing that happened recently in Michigan, we had a young man who was tasered by the police, but he had asthma. And of course they didn't know that, but he died. And it was as a result of the interaction of the electricity and his heart stopped and all. There has to be an elimination of the use of tasers within the officer's possession. We have a law in Michigan also, which we're very concerned about, with juveniles, children who are arrested and maybe commit crimes, major felonies, felony murder under the felony murder rule. And after three offenses, they may be given life in prison without possibility of parole. And as the doctor knows, when you are a juvenile, your brain has not formed until you're at least 25, I think it's 25 years, they say that then your judgment is much better than it is when you're a youngster, a teenager, or a child. But on the Oscar Grant case, that was brought out. With the 3 minutes that each of us had, it was a little bit difficult to hit all of the spots that we needed to, but I want you to know that people from 156 nations around the world, so that's thousands of people, are aware of what happened to Oscar Grant. And one of the other things that we will be doing is sending you all kinds of support. And anyway, from Michigan, if there's anything that we can do, and I know that Reverend Buford has been working with the family and the committee, the defense committee. So thank you for letting. Oh, did I cover reparations enough?
Didn't you say what that was?
Well, okay. I did say that, you know, they're trying to get into the document again, the fact that there still are remnants of slavery, and one of the biggest remnants of slavery is in the criminal justice prison system. And one of the things that we are discussing in Michigan, I'm also working with the ACLU on this, is the school-to-prison pipeline. I know a lot of you have heard about that, where youngsters are not being reprimanded and punished by the school system, but is put into the criminal justice system, and they go right through. So that's one of the forms of slavery that is still reminiscent, and I have heard many black people, unfortunately, say they can't support the question of reparations because that happened so long ago. Can't we just forget that? But one of the reasons that our kids can't get into college, that they have all of these problems with getting jobs and everything, is that racism still exists. In the United States, the Southern Poverty Law Program has said that there are 900 hate groups in the United States that have grown since 9/11. And we've got our own form of terrorists, homegrown terrorists in the United States. One of the other things I brought up, and I'll just be really quick about it, is on the case of the Cuban Five. In Miami, Florida, the exiled Batista people who came from Cuba, the ones that had the money and stole from the banks and the insurance companies and went to Miami, they are the ones that are attacking the country of Cuba. And the Cuban Five were arbitrarily detained. These are young men that have spent 10 years in prison. They had a faulty trial, and even the United Nations said that they tried them in Miami. It was during a perfect storm of prejudice. They couldn't possibly get a fair trial. So we're working on that. There's so much going on that it's hard to think that we can work in all of these areas, but tasers are going to hopefully be outlawed. And one of our people, and this is the last thing, Ann Ginger, Fagan Ginger, who is the head of the Nickel John Civil Liberties Institute, wants Barbara Lee to introduce a law about tasers and the training that the officers get with them and the elimination of tasers as being used by the officers to contain crowds.